5 years ago this summer, President Clinton signed legislation that fulfilled his pledge to end welfare as we know it. The measure ended the federal welfare entitlement and replaced it with block grants to the states. It also required most welfare recipients to work in order to receive assistance. According to a new poll by NPR, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, Americans think less about poverty and welfare than they did in the mid-1990s. But when they do, they're more likely to think that poor people work, and they're less likely to blame poverty on the poor themselves. Most Americans who are aware of welfare reform legislation, about half of those surveyed, say it's a success, largely because it has put recipients to work. NPR's Brian Naylor has more.
You would be hard-pressed to find a stronger or more enthusiastic advocate for welfare reform than Margaret Smith, an employee of the Baltimore Department of Social Services.
You'll have such a sense of pride about getting up every day, going out there, contributing, learning, growing.
Smith was on welfare herself for almost 7 years before she had a choice to make, find a job or lose her benefits. With a teenage daughter to care for, it wasn't much of a choice. The city helped Smith get started, first with education so she could get her GED certificate, then with job training and vouchers for bus fare. Eventually, it hired her as a fiscal clerk.
That's exactly what happened. I knew I wasn't happy with getting welfare, but I knew I'd have been less happy not even getting that little bit. So that's what made me, you know, just go into the, what was it called back then, Project Independent. But from then, it just snowballed, and I just found myself happy to get up in the morning and go, meeting different people, learning different things. I mean, a computer looked like something out of space to me before I got into the program.
In 1996, the Republican-led Congress approved welfare reform 3 times before President Clinton agreed to sign the measure. Kent Weaver of the Brookings Institution has written on the history of the issue.
The legislation that was passed made a number of different changes. It imposed work requirements on individuals. It required states to have a certain percentage of their caseload in work. Perhaps most importantly, it imposed time limits so that adult individuals could not receive benefits under the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families program for more than 5 years in their lifetimes.
Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, or TANF, replaced the Aid to Families with Dependent Children program around since the 30s. States now get money in block grants designed to pay for everything from cash assistance to job-related clothing, transportation, and training. One result, each state has gone its own way implementing the new program. The training provided for former welfare recipients like Margaret Smith has not gone unnoticed by the people it's supposed to help. When poor people in our survey say welfare reform is working, it's one of the most important reasons they give. Jonathan Thompson of Baltimore's Department of Social Services says welfare reform has changed his agency. Now he says it does much more than just pass out checks or make sure the rules are followed.
We've been more on the lines of what can we bring, what resources can we bring to the family that will help that family move into self-sufficiency. And when we talk self-sufficiency in Maryland, we're talking about employment or other type of benefits that that customer may be eligible for that will alleviate the need for cash assistance.
About half of the welfare recipients who leave the rolls in Baltimore are documented as getting jobs in the first 3 months of their leaving. Thompson says the number is probably higher because not everyone who drops off the rolls tells the department their plans. For many former welfare recipients, getting a job may be the easy part. Many are single parents, and there is the ever-present problem of finding quality child care while they work. There is a need for access to health care for the working poor, whose jobs provide few of any medical benefits. In Maryland, the welfare reform law tries to address these problems. The state provides vouchers and has also increased spending on Medicaid, although critics say payments are often slow and the bureaucracy unresponsive. Our survey found overwhelming support for programs like these, ones that help people help themselves. Transportation is a good example. Most Maryland welfare recipients live in inner-city Baltimore, but the jobs are elsewhere. A state-supported program called Vehicles for Change provides former welfare recipients with low-cost, if high-mileage, used cars. Marty Schwartz explains the basics of repaying their loans to 4 Baltimore residents who on this day will pick up their keys.
Now, you're going to be getting from Freedom Financial a payment book in the mail, and it'll have one for every month. It'll have a coupon. It'll tell you exactly how much your payment is. And, you know, you tear that off and you mail it back to the address that's on there with your check. Okay?
Inside, you see basically all your warning gauges. This is your RPM level. This is the battery level, fuel level, oil pressure level, and temperature gauge. This is what pretty much what you'd rather keep your eye on, the temperature gauge.
Yolanda Burtonell is among those getting new wheels today. In her case, a 1993 Thunderbird that in a previous life was an undercover state police car. She works at Morgan State University and has been off welfare for 2 years.
Childcare hasn't been too much of an issue for me. I have school-age children, but being with to be home with them after, you know, work and all, then having to catch two buses to and fro to work would bring me home. If I get off at 4, I wouldn't get home until 6. And the children get out of school at 3:45. So you're looking at children being home from the hours of 3:45 until 6 o'clock by themselves.
Burtonell has a relative care for her children after school. Of the respondents to our poll who were aware of the new welfare law, 57% say it has given the poor more self-respect. For her part, Burtonell, who had been on welfare for 12 years, is ebullient about the changes in her life.
I feel great. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I've never loved myself more than I do today.
But more than a third of the respondents to our poll who are below the poverty line and know about the new law say it's not working well. And of all those who don't feel it's working well, two-thirds say it's denying too many people the help they really need. The key here is jobs. Americans seem to want welfare recipients to work, and nearly 8 out of 10 say there are jobs available for those who want to work. But they also acknowledge that the jobs welfare recipients can get don't pay enough to support a family. The poor themselves know this firsthand. Nicole, a 22-year-old mother of three in Erie, Pennsylvania, was one of the respondents to our poll. She asked that we not use her last name when we called her back to ask some questions. Nicole has been on and off public assistance. She wants to work and does work about 40 hours a week, babysitting out of her home.
Everybody should be out there working. There really aren't any excuses, but like here, it's just so hard to find work without getting paid minimum wage. And the minimum wage work, I mean, that it doesn't do a thing. It doesn't pay all your bills, pay your rent, buy, you know, get food for the house, and get all the stuff that you need.
Nicole and her family have been receiving food stamps to help make ends meet. Despite the help and the job, Nicole says she's no better off than before.
It's just about the same. It's just, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and you never have any money, basically. It's always gone.
And despite the positives welfare reform has brought, the dramatic drop in caseloads, the pride in their work felt by former recipients, there is one thing welfare reform has not changed. While most who know about welfare reform feel it's worked because it's forced recipients to find jobs, 73% acknowledge that those who have gotten jobs are still poor. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Baltimore.